Over the past couple of weeks, I know that Pastor Don has been talking about learning how to interpret the Bible so that we can use it the right way and so that we can study God's Word so that it will affect us the way that God intended. And when we read and we study God's Word, I mean, it should have an impact on us, on the way that we think and the way that we act. Our mind is sort of like a grand central station where we have thoughts and ideas and perceptions and information comes in and is coming and going all the time. And everything that we do or say, everything that we think about, it all sort of comes up here and goes on to like what would be considered maybe like a hard drive or something like that. And that's what we call our mind. If we want to be transformed into the Christians that God has called us to be, then we need to understand that it has to become, or it has to begin right up here first. This is where, you know, this is that area of our body that directs everything else. The way we think determines how we will live. What we think eventually becomes, makes us who we are. And there really is no middle ground or neutral ground. We're being changed on a daily basis, and we're either being changed by the external pressures of this world that are pushing on us and trying to manipulate us and trying to control us and make us conform to the outside world, or we are being changed internally by God and being transformed, you know, through the power of His Holy Spirit as He works in our life. And that's why God's Word tells us in Romans 12, 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. What a wonderful thing to know that our mind can be made new. I think that's great when you think about it. I mean, if you think about all the garbage that we've had in our life, you know, going back from when we were kids, all the junk we did, all the maybe young, you know, as a young adult, or, you know, especially if we weren't Christians, maybe all the junk that we were taking in, and we can start over. I was talking with Ed Lindebauer one time back a while ago about my wife's old laptop or computer, and it was giving us nothing but problems. And every, you know, we had everybody in the world, it seemed like, tried to fix this thing, and, you know, there was no, so many things on it just would not work right. And it seemed like there were always problems, and no matter how often we got the problem taken care of, they would come back. These problems just kept coming back, and then before you know it, new problems would come up. And it sort of sounds like us, doesn't it? The old problems want to keep coming back, and then maybe even new ones keep popping up. So he suggested that we wipe the slate clean, that we just go in and, you know, erase the whole thing and start all over and put a whole new program on it, a whole new operating system on it, and reprogram and start fresh. And that's basically, it would be transformed into a new computer. And that's exactly what God wants to have happen to us. You know, He wants to transform us by renewing our minds. He wants to wipe the slate clean and get rid of all that old programming and put a whole new operating system inside of us. That we operate, you know, as we are led by the Spirit of God. We operate as we are led by the Word of God. We operate as we know that we've been called to operate as Christians. And we can't just let our mind go and expect that somehow it will magically, all by itself, just get better. Because time itself does not make us wise. Time itself does not make us mature. I mean, you can be young and mature, you can be old and stupid. You know? It doesn't matter. It's what we do with that time is what counts. It's what goes on during that time that brings maturity and wisdom. We have to take an active part in seeing that this is happening and be involved in what goes on up here. It's not just a matter either of just pushing out the bad thoughts. I mean, we can try to do that and get rid of all the junk and just say, I'm not going to think about that, I'm not going to think about that, and then just sort of hope for the best. But our mind is going to find something to think about, something to focus on. And if we try to push out some stuff or one thing, our mind's going to find something else, and it's going to come right back in. So what we have to do is we have to make sure that the new thoughts that start coming in aren't junk thoughts again. They're not garbage in so that garbage comes out. We want to fill our mind with the right stuff, which would be godly thoughts, God's truth. And our mind is such an amazing thing. It's God's most complex creation. And now that we've been born again, God wants to make our mind new. He wants us to become that new creation that it talks about in His Word. And that includes our mind, a new creation there. It's almost like colonizing a new land and claiming it for the kingdom of God. In fact, a perfect example of what I'm talking about we could find in Australia. It's something that they did way back. If you know a little bit about the history of Australia, in the late 1700s, Britain began sending convicts to Australia. They used that instead of having prisons, they just sent their prisoners away. So they sent them off to Australia, and so it became a penal colony for England. The first colony became known as New South Wales, and that later, now, in fact, it's called Sydney. And that was originally a penal colony. And, in fact, the first fleet arrived there on January 20th, 1788, and that day today is actually still celebrated as Australia Day. That's like the beginning of European part of Australia that we now know as Australia. So this vast land was being filled up with convicts. They were the rebels of society, sort of like the rebel thoughts that try to come into our mind. And as time went on, the country began to grow beyond its penal value. It's, you know, being was no longer just being used for convicts, and people began to recognize the beauty of this country and the vast resources, the potential of this country. And so you could say, in a sense, it was born again. So I'm making an analogy here between Australia and us. So I want you to keep that in your mind. But they realized that they needed help to build this country, to make Australia into the prosperous country that it was to become. So they began a special immigration program, bringing things in. And what they did, they put out the word that they needed doctors, they needed engineers, they needed teachers and technicians and mechanics and all kinds of skilled people to help come and build this country. The kind of people that could use their skills to make Australia a stronger, a more prosperous nation. And in fact, the immigration department even paid the expenses of people that wanted to travel there and live there. They were willing to pay the price so that they could get good people to come into the country. The program worked. It was a tremendous success. And soon they were growing and they developed into a first-rate nation. In fact, Australia is a good friend of the United States. Well, our mind is a lot like Australia in that sense. At one time, it was filled with rebels, rebel thoughts. And then, you know, the rebellious thoughts kept, you know, were growing, and then something happened. Then we were born again. And now we want to renew our mind, just like they wanted to build a prosperous, realize the potential of their country. We want to prosper in Christ. We want to realize our potential. We want to become what God has created us to be. And so we have to be willing to pay the price, just as Australia did. And our price is a commitment to put into our mind the things of God. That's what it costs. That's what it's going to cost us, is the time, the energy, to get the Word of God, to get the things of God, to get the thoughts of God, and bring them and put them in our mind, get them in our thinking. And no matter what the cost, we need to be steadfast in that commitment to put on the mind of Christ. We need to be willing to take the time and to make the efforts and do whatever we have to do so that our minds can be made new, that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So the question is, what do we fill our minds with? How do we make this new attitude? How do we renew our mind? How do we do this? Well, I want to look at a couple scriptures, and I'm actually not even going to finish today because I know we're running a little short, so I'm going to cut it a little shorter today too. I'll just go up to a certain point and stop. 1 Corinthians is the first scripture, Colossians 3:2, and it says, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Philippians 3:20 tells us that our citizenship is in heaven, and heaven, as we know, is an eternal kingdom, and that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. So our mind and our affections, our love, our joy, our desires, we need to set all these things on something that is not fading and passing, but we need to set them on the things of God, not the things of this world. Everything in this world is going to rot, it's going to rust, it's going to fade away, it's going to pass away. We know that. Why would we want to set our heart, why would we want to set our mind, our affection on something that's dissolving almost before our eyes sometimes? Seems like as soon as you buy something, it starts to break down. When we set our heart and our hope on the things of this world, what happens is it takes away our thoughts from God. And in reality, it's a form of idolatry. When we set our sights and our hopes and our dreams on worldly things, you know what it does? It brings fear. It brings worry. It brings anxiety. It brings frustration into our life. The very things that we want to avoid. And yet, the more we run after the things of the world, the more worry, fear, and frustration we get. Because they're always breaking. We're losing them. We can't afford them. We need new ones of this. We need new ones. And everything is always changing. And it's like there's no way we can make it last forever. There's no way it's going to satisfy us. And so we try to attain our peace from that. It just doesn't work. If we try to obtain our peace, our joy, our satisfaction from the world, then we have to realize that what we're depending on then is we're depending on things like our marriage, our family, our kids, our parents, our health, our job, our living conditions, etc., etc. All these things. And you know, every one of those things they're good things. Marriage is a great thing. The job is a good thing, a family, our kids, our parents, all these are good things. But if any one of these areas starts to have problems, and I don't suppose anybody here has problems with any of those areas, right? If any of those areas have any kind of problems, and what happens is we're let down. And who doesn't have problems in probably more than one of those areas at any given time? It seems like as soon as one thing's going right, something else is going wrong, you know? And our life said, Jesus even said, in this world, you will have problems. And so if we set our mind on all these things, if these are the things that we look at, as good as they are, to bring us joy and peace and satisfaction, to fill our life up, to give us everything that we need. If that's where we put our focus, if my whole life is centered on my family, even as good as family is, it's going to leave me wanting. I need to have my mind set on things above. So when our mind is set on things above, on God, on His kingdom, then other things change. We have our mind set on His Word. Things can change. Then we can see how He is right there with us. We can see how He can work in our lives, and He can take the different situations, the different problems, in all those other good things, and He can turn them around and work them to the good. He can transform not only us, but our marriage, our family, our kids, our job, our home, all these different things. If we seek the world first, we may gain a little, but it will never last. It won't bring us the peace and joy that we're looking for, and we risk losing it all. But if we seek the kingdom first, then according to God's word, after we've put all our work, our faith, our trust, our hope into the kingdom, then His promise is that He will supply all those other things. So see, if the focus is so important. Put our focus up there, we get there, and here both. Put our focus down here, we don't even get this and nothing up there. Matthew 6 says, 33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." There was an old story, it's a pretty ancient one, ancient Greek kind of story, about a sailor who lost his ship at sea. There was this mountain, and it was made out of magnetic rocks, and it was a whole big mountain on this island. And if you sailed too close to it, what happened is it pulled all the iron nails and the straps and the rods and everything out of the ships that went by, and the ships would sink. Well, unfortunately, you had to pass this mountain to get to all these great, wonderful, worldly treasures. And, of course, everyone who tried to put their to get these treasures, as they went to try to get past this island, sure enough, that mountain would destroy their ship, and they would sink, and they would be lost. Having our hearts and our minds set on worldly treasures, on the treasures of this world, when we get too close to the things of this world, it pulls stuff out of us. And what it pulls out of us is our love for God, the real thing that makes our life worthwhile, that makes our life worth living. Matthew 16:26 says, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man exchange for his soul?" 1 John 2:15-17 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." We need to do what 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to do, and that's to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So we're back to pushing out those old thoughts, then, basically, is what we're saying. This is what that scripture is telling us. Push out the old thoughts. Take those thoughts captive. Put them in prison. Put them away. And then bring in the things of God. Setting our mind on things above. That's how we renew our mind. That's how we set, you know, our mind on things above, by, you know, by taking that time and getting rid of the junk and bringing in the good things of God. The second scripture I want to look at is Philippians 4:8. And this is the one I'm going to sort of cut a little bit short, because there's a lot in here. And it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." This scripture is giving us some real direction concerning our thought life. It's actually giving us, like, step by step, you know, that you can think on this, you can think on that, and, you know, you can bringing all these different kinds of this way of thinking into our life so that our mind can be renewed. It gives us a list and tells us to think about such things. I mean, obviously, the list is not all-inclusive. There's no list that would tell us everything that we should think about. And God's not into mind control in that way where he says you can think only on this and this and this and nothing else. It's not like that at all. It's that God wants to point us in a certain direction. It clearly shows us, this scripture shows us the direction that we should be turning our mind in, turning our mind towards, how we should begin to think, the style of thinking, the way of thinking, the, you know, that we can begin to put this kind of thought life together up here in our mind. Notice the list does not include think on such things as fear. Oh, you know, think on, you know, let your mind dwell on worry, on anxiety, on doubt, on, you know, selfish thoughts or haughty thoughts or impurity or negative things which bring us down and have been condemned in the Word. All these things have. So the Word doesn't say think on those such things. It shows us the other side. It gives us the things. We hear so many times, don't do this and don't do that. Well, why not make it positive? Well, here it is. This is the positive side. It's telling us the direction to bring our thinking. Let me read that again, that scripture, and you can see the clear direction. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, this is how we think. Think on such things. Some versions say, let your mind dwell on such things. Let this stuff be floating around up here. Look at things in light of this kind of thinking. The whole list is positive. It's very positive. And if we learn to think about the things that are on this list, or think along the lines of this list, it gradually begins to change our thought processes. And it begins to transform us by renewing our minds. This is the kind of thinking that changes our attitude. We might have a lousy attitude. We might have a depressed, frustrated attitude. We might have an angry attitude. And God says to start thinking along this way. And before we know it, if we do it, that frustration starts to fade away. The anger starts to dissipate. The fear and the worry and the anxiety start to melt away. It gradually begins to sink in as we think about it, as we purpose it, as we determine to do that. Like I said before, our mind isn't going to be renewed just by time, just by waiting. It's like when they talk about evolution. They absolutely tell you they can't create life out of anything. But over billions and billions of years, life was created out of nothing. Just by time. That makes no sense absolutely at all. But somehow they think if they could spread it out over millions or billions of years, that somehow that seems to make it more sensible. It doesn't. And it's the same thing with our mind. It doesn't matter if it's 1, 5, 10, 50, or 100. If we don't start putting good things in and really bringing in good stuff, it's not, our mind will not be renewed. It will not be changed. You know, God can do a lot in us, and the Holy Spirit will work through us, but we still have to do our part and bring it in. And just like God says, he'll take care of our physical needs, we still have to eat the food. or we die. We still have to breathe in to bring in air, or we die. And we still have to fill our mind with the right stuff. The more we think on these thoughts, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, etc., the more attractive they start to become to us. We start to realize that this is the way to think. This is right. This is good. This is how life should be. More uplifting instead of always fearful and anxious and worrying and, you know, scared and hurting. And that we weren't. God didn't create us to have to live like that. He wants us to live life to the full. Abundant. He wants us to have an abundant life, a good life. The dearer to our heart and the more influential these things become as we continue to think this way. We start to want to think this way after a while then. And then eventually they become more than beliefs, because the devil can believe stuff too, you know. The devil knows the Word of God. It isn't helping him. More than emotions. Our emotions can drag us all over the place, up and down and all around. And even more than actions. Anybody can do something good and not mean anything. What happens is they begin to change us inwardly. We begin to be transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the kind of thinking that helps us to develop the character of Christ inside of us. That we're changed. We become a new creation. We become like Christ. And that's our goal, to become more like Him. Our thought life, if we think of something often enough, finally arrives at a point where we just can't stop thinking about that thing. The more we put it before us, the more we start looking at it, the more we start thinking about it, before you know it, even when we walk away, we're still thinking about it. Sooner or later, those thoughts begin to progress into action and into lifestyles. And that can be good, and that can be bad. It's good when we're thinking about the kind of things that Philippians 4:8 is talking about, whatever is true and lovely and excellent and praiseworthy and all those kind of things. But what about if we're thinking of the wrong kind of thoughts? That's where dangers of things like pornography come in. If we think long enough, look at that long enough, eventually the actions begin to follow. Or maybe we think about stealing, or we start thinking about adultery, or about getting high, or about, you know, doing different things that are not right. And the more we start thinking about that, eventually we find ourselves doing it. So we need to be careful how we think. We start running things by in our mind and imagining. It can be good if it's good stuff, dangerous if it's bad stuff. That's why we need to be careful what our kids are watching, reading, or listening to, because their minds and their opinions, their character is still being molded. And something that may not have a, you know, big impact on us might have a huge impact on them. So we have to be cautious there. That's why so many false doctrines are being taught in some of our schools to younger and younger kids. That's why they're always bringing up, they like to talk about abortion, homosexuality, evolution, radical environmentalism. All these things are constantly being thrown at our kids. I've talked to some young kids and they're scared to death that our world is falling apart, that we're running out of trees, you know, things like that. Running out of trees? Trees are a crop. Just like anything else, you plant them, you grow them, you harvest them, you use them, you plant more. You know, I mean, it's just like saying, we're running out of corn. I'm really worried. We're running out of wheat. There won't be enough, you know. We're running out of apples. Our world, there's a shortage. You know, I mean, it's silly the way, and they put these things in kids' minds. They think the world is going to explode. They think that, you know, the world is overpopulated. There'll be so many people they won't be able to eat. All these things are being pushed into our kids' minds because they know that if they can manipulate the young minds, that their goal is to then change them and bring them into this whole radical, activist, liberal culture. They want to indoctrinate them. That's why it's important for us to think on good things and make sure that our, especially our younger kids, you know, that they hear the truth. They hear reality. Ask them what they learn in school. And when they tell you, you know, some of these things, and you go, well, wait a minute, you know, that's not really true. The more we can put aside the faults of others and focus on what is good and true, the more we'll be able to love them, which is exactly what God commands us to do. Everything created by God is good and true. So we can find truths all over the place, wherever we look. I absolutely love seeing the paintings that God paints. And by that I mean the sky almost every day. You know, I love looking at clouds and sunsets and just seeing the... I constantly, like, have to stop. I pull over. I take pictures of beautiful cloud formations and setting suns and things like that. I just love seeing it because they're never the same, and they're so cool. You know, they're so beautiful. I mean, you just can't... You can't take it all in. I'll take 20 pictures of one sunset in the span of, you know, 15, 20 minutes and try to take it from all different angles with different trees and around and different, you know, branches sticking or laying on the ground doing all this and that, just because every way you look at it is beautiful. And in that beauty, we can see truth. We can see God's creation. That God himself created this, that it's real, that it's good, that it's true. Science used to be about discovering God's truths. I remember when I was I went to a parochial school, Catholic school for in grade school, and our science book said Understanding God's World, and then the little line underneath it said Discovering His Truths. And that's what science used to be. They used to want to try to find out the truth about all the different things of the world until later on. Now, they don't really care so much about finding the truth. They want to prove their point oftentimes now. And so they use science to promote their political agenda. And we're seeing that in things like global warming and stuff like that, that's a total farce. Science is no longer credible anymore, at least not all science. Some of it is. Of course, we must always be aware that Satan, the father of lies, is out there and will always be trying to deceive us. He wants to destroy our relationship with God. He wants to destroy us. And if we submit ourselves to God and to his truth, then we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. Truth of God will set us free. Free from the bondage of sin. Free from the lies of the enemy. We don't have to believe in that stuff. So we need to speak the truth. We need to think the truth. We need to walk in the truth. It's God's truth, and it can set us free from all the tricks, all the traps of the enemy, all the garbage. Will help us. God's truth will help us to see, you know, the emptiness that the world is trying to entice us with. We can begin to see through all the phony smoke and mirrors of all these enticements coming at us, and that's exactly what they are. So instead of being sucked into the world, conformed to its ways, we can then begin to be transformed by the renewing of our mind as we fill our mind with God's stuff. What better thing could there possibly be than to renew our mind with the Word of God? I mean, when you think about what is in this world, what can enlighten us, what can help us, what can teach us, there's nothing better than the Word of God. His Word is living, it's active, it judges the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. It points us to areas, actually points out areas as we read it. It points out to us areas where our thinking is wrong, where it's off. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God's word is where it's at. It's transformational. It transforms us. And if we're really serious about being a new creation in Christ, about being transformed, then we have to let our mind be renewed. And there's no better place to go than God's word. Not just read it, which is good, but study it. Get to know it. Really get it in. You know, reading is the beginning. We need to read it sometimes as a love letter from God. But we need to also take the time sometimes and stop and maybe sometimes remember it, memorize it. Maybe sometimes just break it down and study it. Maybe sometimes go into the Greek. Maybe sometimes do a word study or do a topical study. Sometimes, you know, examine it different ways. I mean, however we look at the word, however we get it into us, that's something that will add to the renewing of our mind. And that's what we need to do. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. He's the one who caused the word to be written. He's the one that leads us and guides us into all truth, reminds us of everything that Jesus said. So the Holy Spirit will help us to understand the word. We need to get it in our minds, think on it, meditate on it, let it sort of simmer around in there, marinate our minds in the word of God. Learn it, live it, love it. I was thinking, that'd be a nice thing for a t-shirt. Learn it, live it, love it. What? What are you talking about? God's word. You know, and just have that on there as one of those, ask me, they say, ask me. Learn it, live it, love it. If I could have the prayer team come forward. I'm going to finish this next week. We'll get back to the other items, that the other ways of thinking, and see how God is trying to give us insight into how we can really change our way of thinking and change our whole life, transform our life. So let's close in prayer. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, that you care enough about us, that you want to help us be transformed and made into a new creation. Lord, we thank you that you've given us direction, that you give us your word, you give us your truth to help us find the ways to renew our mind. And Lord, I pray for each one of our minds here right now, every one of us hearing this word, whether now or on a CD or on the web or wherever, that as we hear your word, that our minds would begin to change. That we would begin to get rid of all the stuff, all the worry, fear, doubt, all the negatives, all the garbage, all the worldly allurements and enticements, and that we would begin to fill up our mind with something new, something of you, something godly, something true. Lord, help us to be transformed by renewing our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.